Good evening. Welcome to you all. We're pleased that you have taken the time to share together as we think about the events of Holy Week. There's not many of us here, but I pray that God will bless us and help us as we think about these few days of Holy Week. The band will play, the songsters will sing, and we will share with reading relating to the days leading up to Good Friday. The piece the band has just played introduces the words which say, "I have no claim on grace, I have no right to plead, I stand before my Maker's face, condemned in thought and deed. But since there died a lamb who guiltless my guilt bore, I lay fast hold on Jesus' name, and sin is mine no more." As we move towards Easter and consider those words, we realise that it is only by God's grace that we are pardoned for all our sin. Let's continue with our thoughts this evening as we consider day one.
On the Sunday before his death, Jesus began his trip to Jerusalem, knowing that soon he would lay down his life for our sins. Nearing the village of Bethphage, he sent two of his disciples ahead, telling them to look for a donkey and its unbroken colt. The disciples were instructed to untie the animals and bring them to him. Then Jesus sat on the young donkey and slowly, humbly, made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, fulfilling the ancient prophecy in Zechariah Chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The crowds welcomed him by waving palm branches in the air and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." On Palm Sunday, Jesus and his disciples spent the night in Bethany, a town about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. This is where Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, lived. They were close friends of Jesus, and they probably hosted him and his disciples during their final days in Jerusalem.
I invite you to sing. And I'm sure you're looking forward to that now. Please stand if you can, and we'll join together with the words, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow."
Loving Father, we just come before your throne of grace this evening and we thank you for the privilege that we have for doing this. To come and sing your praises, to play your praises, to speak your praises, to worship you, Lord. We are just doing this leading up to next week when we think of the many events that took place. But Lord, I just ask that this evening you will be with us as we reveal the story through music and words. Be with all of those, Lord, who have a part to play this evening. Bless them and use them. And Lord, there will be those of our gathering who just need our prayers. We need to remember them. We need to show them that we love them and we care for them. And Lord, I just pray that you will be their strength today and in the coming days. Lord, it would have been lovely to have seen a few more. But I believe that you will use us and you will bless us. And Lord, I ask you to just be with us. Bless us because we love you. We're here because we want to worship you. Amen.
The first song from our songsters this evening is a bright, lively number which you would expect for Palm Sunday and uses the words, "Praise you, I will praise you."
Thank you. Jesus returned with his disciples to Jerusalem. Along the way, he cursed the fig tree because it had failed to bear fruit. Some scholars believe that cursing the fig tree represents God's judgment on extent. Believe that the tree represented God's judgment on the spirituality, religious leaders of Israel. Others believe the symbolism extended to all believers, demonstrating that genuine faith is more than just outward religiosity. True living faith must bear spiritual fruit in a person's life. When Jesus arrived at the temple, he found the courts full of corrupt money changers. He began overturning their tables and cleaning the temple, saying, "The scriptures declare my temple will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." On Monday evening, Jesus stayed in Bethany, again, probably in the home of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus.
So as we move into day two, following the events in the temple, it's good for us to realize our faults and bring them to Jesus. We can come before him again just now and sing as we say to him, "Lord, you know that we love you." As we offer our sins, asking for forgiveness, we will soon realize that God is such a gracious God and full of compassion for us. Listen now as the band plays and uses the words, "The Lord is gracious, abounding in perfect love, and slow to anger. He rules the earth in heaven above. He offers his compassion still to those who trust his name. The Lord is gracious. His mighty works proclaim." Is gracious, abounding in perfect love. Whenever we feel we may have let our Lord down, we can call upon his promise of compassion as we trust him each day. There may be times when we feel we cannot come close to him, but there is the assurance that if we trust in his name, he will indeed come looking for us. We can be assured of this with the words to be sung by the songsters as we sing, "He Sought Me."
Day 3. Tuesday, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives. On Tuesday morning, Jesus and his disciples returned to Jerusalem. They passed the withered fig tree on their way, and Jesus spoke to his companions about the importance of faith. Back at the temple, religious leaders were upset at Jesus for establishing himself as a spiritual authority. They organized an ambush with the intent to place him under arrest, but Jesus evaded their traps and pronounced harsh judgment on them, saying, "Blind guides, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Snakes, sons of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of hell?" Later that afternoon, Jesus left the city and went with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, which sits due east of the temple and overlooks Jerusalem. Here, Jesus gave the Olivet Discourse, an elaborate prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the age. He speaks, as usual, in parables, using symbolic language about the end times events, including his second coming and the final judgment. Scripture indicates that this Tuesday was also the day that Judas Iscariot negotiated with the Sanhedrin, the rabbinical court of ancient Israel, to betray Jesus. After a tiring day of confrontation and warnings about the future, once again, Jesus and the disciples return to Bethany to stay the night.
As we enter day 3, even in our doubt, we can still be reassured that his teaching is only good for us. He teaches that our lives should be both clean inside and out, and continues with the theme of the importance of faith. Faith in who loves us so much. Let's stand again, if you can, and we'll share together in a song how deep the Father's love for us.
Thank you.
With these words still in our minds, the songsters are going to sing again some thoughtful, meaningful words set to the music of Beethoven's piano sonata in C minor, here simply called Jesus Lord. So we turn to the band again, and some music that again reassures us of the love and peace that God offers. As we play this, think on these words: Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee.
Thank you. Holy Wednesday. The Bible doesn't say what the Lord did on the Wednesday of Passion Week. Scholars speculate that after two exhausting days in Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples spent the day resting in Bethany in anticipation of Passover. Just a short time previously, Jesus had revealed to the disciples that, and the world, that he had power over death by raising Lazarus from the grave. After seeing this incredible miracle, many people in Bethany believed that Jesus was the Son of God and put their faith in him. Also in Bethany, just a few nights earlier, Lazarus's sister Mary had lovingly anointed the feet of Jesus with expensive perfume.
Day 5, Passover and the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday. Holy Week takes a somber turn on Thursday. From Bethany, Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to the upper room in Jerusalem to make the preparations for the Passover feast. That evening, after sunset, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples as they prepared to share in the Passover. By performing this humble act of service, Jesus demonstrated by example how believers should love one another. Today, many churches practice foot washing ceremonies as a part of their Maundy Thursday services. Then Jesus shared the feast of Passover with his disciples, saying, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my sufferings begin. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As the Lamb of God, Jesus was about to fulfill the meaning of Passover by giving his body to be broken and his blood to be shed in sacrifice, freeing us from sin and death. During this Last Supper, Jesus established the Lord's Supper or communion, instructing his followers to continually remember his sacrifice by sharing in the elements of bread and wine. Later, Jesus and the disciples left the upper room and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed in agony to God the Father. Luke's Gospel says that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Later that evening in Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed with a kiss by Judas Iscariot and arrested by the Sanhedrin. He was taken to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the whole council had gathered to begin making their case against Jesus. Meanwhile, in the early morning hours, as Jesus' trial was getting underway, Peter denied knowing his master three times before the rooster crowed.
Jesus, of course, knew that the Last Supper would indeed be his Last Supper with his disciples, and continued in his teaching. His continued love was evident as they shared together. I invite you to sing again about this love as the band play an arrangement of the well-known song, "Here Is Love." Remain seated.
Thank you.
And finally, as we come to the events, the end of day five, heading into Good Friday, we'll leave you to make your own mind up about Good Friday during our Good Friday service on next Friday. But at the moment, we've all, as we think about the events of Holy Week, all the love Jesus shared and still Peter denied knowing him. I trust that this evening, if we were asked the question, who do you say Jesus is, that you would be able to reply with certainty that he is the Lord. The songsters are going to conclude our program this evening with a song entitled, My Lord and Christ.
Thank you. I thank the band and the songsters for their retelling of the story of Holy Week this evening. Such a story demands a response. And I thank the songsters in particular for that proclamation that they have just brought of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. With that thought in mind, I now send you. Go now to follow the way of Jesus. See others as he did. Dare to give freely as he did. And to love unconditionally as he did. Go, embraced by the source of life, love, and hope, in the company of the word of life, encouraged by the breath of life. Amen.